Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Okay, now, my friends Kathy and Dwayne are here today. I'm not going to point them out because we're not into, you know, embarrassing people. But they live in this house. And I sang this song a couple of weeks ago, but they're here, so I got to sing this song again. They live at 139 Ruth Street. That's right. They were so kind a couple years ago to have us and John and Pam over, and we just, man. They let me look in all the nooks and crannies of that house. Don't come to my house. I'm not opening stuff for you. It ain't happening. They were so kind. And the memories that just flowed back. Well, they say you can't come home again. Well, I thought that I would come back one last time. Ma'am, I know you don't know me from Adam, but those handprints on the front steps are mine, and up those stairs in that little back bedroom is where I said my prayers and learned to play guitar. And I'll bet that you don't know that under that old oak, my favorite dog lies buried in the yard. I thought if I could touch this place or feel it, the brokenness inside me might start healing. Out here it's like I'm someone else. I thought that maybe I could find myself. If I could just come in, I swear I'll leave. I won't take nothing but a memory from the house that built me. Mama cut out pictures of houses for years, out of Better Home and Garden magazine. Plans were drawn and concrete poured, nail by nail and board by board. Daddy gave life to Mama's dream. I thought if I could touch this place or feel it, the brokenness inside me might start healing. Here it's like I'm someone else. I thought that maybe I could find myself. If I could just come in, I swear I'll leave. I won't take nothing but a memory from the house that built me. You leave. This old world and forgot who I am. I thought if I could touch this place or feel it, the brokenness inside me might start healing. Out here it's like I'm someone else. I thought that maybe I could find myself. If I could walk around, I swear I'll leave. I won't take nothing but a memory from the house that built me. Built me.
Dwayne and Kathy, thanks for letting us come over and see. see all that.
You know, there's George Beverly Shea wrote a song years ago. If you don't know who George Beverly Shea is, it's because you're young. He was a soloist that worked with Billy Graham forever, since the 1940s. And he would get up before Billy would preach, and a lot of times he would sing this song. It goes like, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's the first Bible story I ever learned. My grandpa was the conductor of their orchestra. I have a picture in my study upstairs of grandpa and his orchestra at the old Congregational Church. First place I ever heard this old story. Let's pray together before we read it together, shall we? Lord Jesus, here we are. We're your people, and this is your book. Take your word and apply it to our lives. And help us. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Succoth in Judah. Now go to verse 4. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. Now get this information. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 125 pounds. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves. If you ever played hockey, the shin pads, okay? And a bronze javelin slung on his back. His spear was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 17 pounds. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul?" That was the king of Israel at the time.
Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephratite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem. You've heard of that town in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons. And in Saul's time, he was old and well advanced in years. And Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The first one was Eliab. The second was Abinadab. And the third was Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take an ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread to your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses for the commanders of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and with all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd. He loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left the things with the keeper of the supplies and ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. And when the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. So he not only heard what Goliath said, he saw what the Israeli army was doing. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, that's the king. And Saul sent for him. David said to Saul the king, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go out and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." And then Saul dressed David in his own tunic and put on a coat of armor and a helmet on his head. And David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I can't go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off and he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream. He put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy. That is, he had like a pinky kind of complexion. And he was handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you came out at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said. "I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." The worst thing that could happen to a Jewish boy would be killed and left for the animals instead of being buried properly. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And those who gather here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. This story has made its way into every culture, wherever you go. A buddy of mine was in China a few months ago, and they were talking about a business deal and how they're going up against a very other big company. And some little Chinese guy said it was a David and Goliath story. I mean, in every culture you go, the story of David and Goliath is there. It's amazing. It's permeated everything. It's an awesome true story from the life of the shepherd boy who would become the king of Israel eventually. I am amazed with the simplicity of David's entire approach to this thing. And if you're in the midst of a battle today, here's some wonderful instruction and inspiration that we can find in this story. It's absolutely incredible. First of all, look at his problems. Problems were literally huge. First of all, the giant. The description in verses 4 to 11 is absolutely amazing. The description of the giant is longer, more words than the description of the battle. He was quite a dude. He was 9 feet tall, over 9 feet tall. Have you ever stood beside a basketball player that's 7 feet tall and feel like a peanut? Well, this is not only some tall Kareem Abdul-Jabbar type. This is a beefy dude. This is a 9 foot Dick Butkus, okay? This is who we're talking about. It's huge. I remember when I was a little kid, my dad would take me to Cranbrook, because at Cranbrook over on Woodward is where the Lions would have their training camps in the olden days. They didn't have some fancy facilities and all that. They won more back then too. So maybe they should go back to Cranbrook and borrow the field. But I remember being a little boy and having those guys walk beside me, because we'd all walk to the same parking lot, and some of these guys, I mean, some of the linebacker dudes, and I'm 7, 8 years old, and here are these guys, you know, 6'5", 6'6", in their cleats. I can still hear the sound of their metal cleats on the sidewalk. This guy was a giant. That's a problem. And not only is he big, the boy brought armor, okay? He's got a coat of armor on him that weighs 125 pounds. He's got a spear point that weighs 17 pounds. And get this, not only does he come equipped, he comes with friends. He's got an armor bearer. He's got somebody that's got the polished shield and some extra weapons that he can hand off to his master as his master is engaged in battle. The shield bearer, okay? I mean, this is really quite the twosome. This is a huge... The dude was enormous, experienced, equipped, and he had help. I mean, that's a pretty big problem. Your problems look like that to you? Does what you're facing look like giants to you that you're never going to be able to deal with? The giant was a huge problem, but there are more. There are more problems than just the giant. There was then the jealous, okay? David gets to the camp. First of all, he leaves early. Notice, I just love the detail. He made sure the sheep were taken care of. I mean, he was the youngest of this family. But what a detail guy. And he's such a detail guy. His dad trusted him with all this stuff. And so he's taking care of the sheep. And he's also running supplies back and forth to the army from the father, because the families in those days had to supply for their own soldiers. So he's really quite a young man. So he shows up, and Eliab, the oldest, rips him. You saw it. Why have you come down here? Why did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came only to watch the battle. What is this? Well, I'll tell you what. Not only had this Goliath come out and scared them and filled them with fear, but he humiliated them with his words twice a day for 40 days. These were men. They were totally humiliated. Now they're humiliated in front of their little brother. Oh, by the way, not long before this, a prophet had showed up at David's family's house. The prophet Samuel said, the Lord had said the next king of Israel is in this family. And so the oldest came out, Eliab. And the Samuel said, oh, surely this is the guy, big dude. He's awesome. What a strapping young man. And the Lord said, uh-uh. You went through all the boys. Nobody. You got any others? No. Oh, wait. The youngest. He's out tending these sheep. They bring in David, and the Lord said, anoint him king. He's the one. You're looking on the outside, but the Lord looks at the heart. Eliab had been there. He had been humiliated there, and now he's humiliated again. And here's David just living his life. He's not trying to do anything wrong, but he's got this huge giant, and then he's got the huge jealous brother. We got problems. We got another problem too. You got the giant and the jealous. Now you got the judgmental. He goes to see King Saul. Saul says to him in verse 33, you're not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he's been a fighting man from his youth. Now you got to know something about King Saul. The reason he became king is because he was good looking and tall. He was the tallest guy, head and shoulders above anybody else in Israel. There you go again. Same problem. And the Lord had already told Saul that he was rejected as king and was going to be replaced. So here's the king who's putting the judgment on him. You know, whenever you try to do something good, whenever you try to get ahead, the problem is going to be a giant, but you're going to have the jealous. You ever tried getting out of debt and get healthy financially? Oh, your friends won't like it. You ever lose weight? Ever go on a diet and become svelte? Someday I will. Okay. But it's interesting. When you notice people that are fit, others are jealous of them, right? And then you're going to have the judgmental, too, who think you can't do this. Who do you think you are? I haven't been able to do it. I've been rejected. What do you, think of it. So here he is. David is told that he can't do it. When you face trouble and testing, you're going to face these three problems. There's no question. Trouble will be multiplied because of these three huge problems in your life. But David had these solutions. I got to tell you, when David got through problems, when he got through these problems, what gave him confidence in his life is that when he went through stuff, it built him for the next trial in his life. Somebody said, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It's true. Now, I know you don't like it. We're all going to struggle in this world. I know it's hard for you, but I just want to let you know, the Lord's building you for something. David tells the story of what had happened in his life, and that gave, usually we're looking for people to take care of us. God wants to build you into a servant, someone who's going to be giving their life away for him. So he's not going to let you sit on the sidelines. You just can't wait for people to come along and take care of you. There was this little old lady that had been widowed three times, and she was on her fourth. She was at a bridge club one day, and they're dealing cards, and one of the girls said, now, honey, let me get this straight. Now, you've been married four times, widowed three times. That's terrible. The little lady said, yeah, okay, it wasn't easy. She said, well, honey, tell me, what were these first men like? She said, well, first of all, I married a banker, Johnny. He was wonderful. And then I married Willie. Willie owned the circus. Willie was fun. And then I married the Reverend Jones, a pastor from down the street. He was great. He passed away, too. So now I've married a funeral director. Really? Why would you marry men of so diverse? And she's, well, honey, One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. We're always looking for somebody. I told you I'd make it work, Gull. But we're always looking for people to take care of us, right? God wants to build you into a person that cares and gives to others. And he'll do it by allowing junk in your life. What gives this little boy this attitude of confidence? Now look at this experience he had, okay? Verse, I think, like 34. Oh, David says to King Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of living God." You see that? So he said, "I've got experience." His experience was amazing. And the experience built him and gave him this confidence to be able to face this problem and deal with it. He was in a dysfunctional, weird family situation. He had a king that didn't believe in him, and there was a giant in the valley that he was going to go face. But there was this confidence because his God had protected him and loved him. To me, that is just beautiful. He had this experience. And then here's the other thing. He had this great faith because he didn't believe that God changed. Since God had done this in the past, he was going to do it again here in a bigger fashion. He was preparing me. I handled the bear and the lion, and I'm going to handle this Philistine giant. I'm going to handle him too. He believed that God had not changed, that the theologians call that immutable. He's not going to change. So he could be trusted. My father-in-law liked to drag me out on the ice and freeze me to death trying to catch fish. Man, he took me out. One day, it was early in the season, we went out on Lake Huron. You know, we went out there, and I used to play hockey at Silver Lake Golf Course. There's a pond in the middle of that course. You've probably lost a lot of golf balls in that pond, too, just like I have over the years. Well, it never really completely froze, and we play hockey out there. And when you're wearing all this goalie equipment, you know, they shoot and miss, and it goes into the weeds, and you got to go. I can't tell you how many times I broke through the ice and barely got out of there. Of course, you never tell your mother. You come home pretty muddy, but she never seemed to catch on. That's been my experience with frozen water. So here's my father-in-law dragging me out on the Lake Huron. I'm scared to death, man. It's going, you know how it expands and all that stuff scares me to death. I was really afraid until a bunch of guys drove by in a new Cadillac. Driving out to there. I guess I'm okay. Listen, the experience that you have in your life is going to build your faith. And it built David's faith. And not only did he have experience and faith, he had gifts. Now listen, Saul tried to tell him he had to do it his way. He had to do it the world's way. But God had equipped this boy with his staff and stones and a sling and a bag. That's all. That's all he needed. I want you to notice something. When David arrived at the problem, he brought with him everything he needed. That's true of your life. What's coming into your life that you wish wasn't? What do you wish would go away? I want you to know something. I want you to know, however you have arrived at this, you have what you need. Don't let other people tell you that you need more. You need a new seminar, or you need a new key to something. You just need to take the gifts that God has given you with the experience and faith and just walk into that battle. You have enough. I'm always amazed at how David picked up five smooth stones. He was going after that giant five. We'll never know why. Of course, he was a guy that prepared. Maybe he was prepared for missing. Or someone has suggested that Goliath had brothers, you know? I don't know. But he goes at this battle with just this. And to me, it's amazing. But he had this secret weapon, okay? He had these giants in his life. There are things that gave him confidence. But there was one thing that drove this whole action and conversation in his life. Verse 36, he says it this way. "This Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God." David saw this battle in his life not for it being a military problem. Listen to me. To David, this was not a military problem. For David, this was a theological problem. Who does this sucker think he is? He's talking about the armies of the living God. You come out, this is verse 45. You come out against me with sword and spear and javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel whom you have defied. I'm telling you, all you need is the Lord walking into this. It's amazing. As you grow in your understanding of God, so does your peace and confidence that he's the king, that he is all-powerful, that he is not going to change, and what he brought you through in the past shows you that he's going to bring you through whatever is in the future and whatever you're facing right now. I want to leave you with the words that God spoke to Joshua in those days after Moses died. Joshua had been the attendant of Moses, and now Moses died, and God says, all right, you're the guy, deal with it. Lead these people. That's scary stuff. But God said to him in chapter 1, verse 5, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law, all the law of my servant Moses that he gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And get this, have I not commanded you? Listen, you didn't ask for this trouble in your life. It came from somewhere else, so here you are in the middle of it, and the Lord tells you to be strong and face the battle. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So where are you today? What's happening in your life? Little shepherd boy faced a giant. God delivered him. You're facing a giant. God's going to deliver you too. You can trust it. Let's stand together to pray. Come on, stand. Lord Jesus, here we all are. You know what each of us is facing. Thank you for the encouragement of your people through all these generations. And we think of little David and what you have done here by rescuing Israel. And I think of my life and the way you've rescued me. Thank you for that being a guarantee of the future, of your continued care and love for each of us. Father, encourage our hearts and help us today. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.